Words on Water. Words on Water.
Hi, welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. This is Travis Loop, the host. And we are going to talk about biosolids, some different angles on biosolids today. I'm here with Menno Fisher. She is a resource recovery expert with San Francisco Public Utilities Commission. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
I wanted to have this podcast after we had a different conversation today, and you brought up some interesting points, some different points maybe about the benefits of biosolids mm-hmm. than you usually hear. And so I really wanted to get on here and talk about that a little bit. You talked about you're a native San Franciscan. And you talked about, you know, why biosolids, why you get all excited about biosolids. And why don't you go ahead and start with the topic of climate change?
Certainly. So biosolids have been studied for a very long time. They're a highly scrutinized carbon-based amendment, as they should be, right? We want to ensure that science is driving all of our practices. And the science lately has really shifted, and I would say lately, in different parts of the country, we're talking the last 10 years or the last 1 year, but it's really shifting away from, you know, how terrible are biosolids for us and are they safe and all of this conversation, and really shifting towards, well, what value do biosolids add and how can we start demonstrating that scientifically? And I'm going to give a shout out to Sally Brown out of King County, because she really has been the pioneer, I would say, in changing that dialogue. And we in San Francisco are really following in her footsteps and the footsteps of all of these experts across the country in being able to scientifically communicate the value add that biosolids bring. And the value add I'm really talking about is the ability to sequester carbon back into our soil. So climate change is real. I'm going to throw that out there.
Oh, now you're going. Now you're off the rails.
It's San Francisco. I'm sorry.
It's amazing. I'll just say, side tangent, it's amazing that we have to have caveats and disclaimers or laugh about that or make the point, right? Like, that's just, it's just fact. Scientific
fact.
Thank
you. So with that fact in mind, okay, the anomaly is just a really simple way of thinking about it in my mind is that we have put too much carbon dioxide in our atmospheres, and we have too little carbon dioxide in our soils. And our soils are a pool of carbon that have been depleted over time. The carbon and nutrients are continuously being extracted from our soils in the form of the food that we eat every single day. And so, like, sustainably managing your biosolids is just returning that carbon back to the soil. And the science there is fascinating, because when land applied to soil, biosolids, as we know, increase plant growth, thereby increasing the amount of carbon that's being drawn back into the soils. And recent science out of the Pacific Northwest and now research that we're currently working on with Dr. Becca Riles out of UC Merced in California is really looking to continue proving this fact, this idea that the addition of biosolids or really any carbon-based amendment to soil can increase the rate at which our soils can sequester carbon. And there's really exciting research out there using compost, not biosolids, but when you think about these carbon-based amendments, biosolids is 60%+ carbon. The science is really showing us that the land application of a carbon-based amendment has the potential to sequester enough carbon, and in California, we have a phenomenal amount of grazed rangelands. Paired with proper grazing practices, we're looking at this opportunity to sequester enough carbon to offset our greenhouse gas emissions. And as a San Franciscan, that makes me tremendously proud, because we're really leading. We have a 050-100 roots climate initiative in San Francisco, and that roots component is about returning carbon to soil in whatever way possible. And so I think there's just this phenomenal potential that moves us away again from this dialogue of let's just do less bad. That's a lot of the environmental movement, right? And instead, here's this tool we have where we can start doing more good on the scale that we really need right now in order to change the rather dismal sounding direction that we're heading in. So it's incredibly motivating for me.
Yeah, if we're going to address climate change, if we're going to lessen the impacts or, you know, stem the tide, whatever phrase you want to use, it's not just going to be shutting off the big polluting smokestacks, right?
No.
Like we've got to find all these innovative solutions and approaches and apply all of them.
Absolutely. And what's great about this biosolids opportunity is that it's just a win-win-win-win-win-win-win. You know, there's everybody serves to benefit in this opportunity. You have ranchers and farmers who in drought-stricken California are seeing longer yields, larger yields, and then longer harvesting periods because their soil is holding onto more water.
Mm.
You're seeing...
Which is another important thing as, you know, drought.
Yes.
Droughts hit in
Hugely.
California, and you know, that's going to be something that we're dealing with. So the ability for soils to hold moisture.
Hold that water when it actually does fall onto our lands. So you're helping out the farmers and ranchers. They're increasing their yield, thereby making it more economically viable to continue in agriculture. And California is an expensive state. You're continuously seeing really fertile farmland turn into subdevelopments, and nothing against subdevelopments, but let's be real, we need to eat and we need to sustain agriculture. It's our primary industry in the state. We feed a lot of the country as well.
Yeah.
And so you're seeing the win on that front. You're seeing the win from a climate perspective. We're keeping this really valuable carbon out of landfills where it's turning into methane and emitting far more pungent pollutants. And I think that really we're closing that formerly linear extractive resource loop and resource management practice, and instead closing that loop to make it more circular and self-sustained.
Yeah, and there's a renewable energy component too, right?
Absolutely, yes.
All right, you're excited about that. Go ahead, say
I'm
something.
I'm always excited about something. Yeah, so for those who aren't familiar, when anaerobically digested, the solids are really creating a form of bioenergy in biogas, and that biogas can be used in a number of ways. It can be cleaned down in terms of removing some of the oxygen in it and pared down to its methane content. So the biogas is both CH4 and CO2 and, you know, some nitrous oxides in there and whatever the chemistry is, but essentially the idea there is cleaning it up to a form in which you can use it, and you can then use it to run electrical generation engine through cogen. You can use it for vehicle fuel. You can, in some places, pipeline inject and use it to displace natural gas. There's all kinds of very exciting opportunity when it comes to biogas recovery and renewable energy that's absolutely paired with the biosolids production. So wastewater treatment plants are really moving away from this idea of treating a waste, and instead we're these renewable resource facilities. And I think that we really are starting to take on that new image and culture and brand. And I think there's some fantastic work happening, not just in San Francisco, but across the country. And I think that I look forward to a day later in my career before I retire where people are thrilled to have these facilities in their neighborhoods because we're adding value and we're creating products and services and we're actually, you know, adding value to our communities.
Who knew that, you know, working in biosolids would make you like a climate crusader, right?
Yeah. I mean, I actually came from the social justice, environmental justice,
okay,
environmental science and management background, fantastic politically active parents in San Francisco. And then I started working for a sewer department. And it wasn't that far of a stretch. My dad's a plumber, and I love San Francisco and knew I wanted to give back to the city that raised me. So I was thrilled to work for my utility. But I didn't think that I'd be able to bring that passion that I knew I had internally to my career.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's been so fulfilling, is being able to really marry those two somewhat different practices into one.
Sure.
And do so in a way that hopefully makes the city and the state and the country a better place.
Another point you talked about with biosolids that really caught my attention when we were chatting before, a benefit that I hadn't heard before at all, is this idea of like environmental literacy
Yeah.
coming from biosolids. So
Absolutely.
Please explain.
Sure. So our biosolids are a fantastic communications tool, and you're seeing this shift within the wastewater industry towards high-quality biosolids, and people are branding their biosolids product. Milorganite is a brand that is decades old, immensely successful. It's a fertilizer made from biosolids, sold commercially. More recently, you have Loop, you have Tagro, you have Bloom. And so people are really starting to think about their biosolids as this valuable product that we can better market to from a sales perspective and perhaps recover revenues from. But I think that what makes me more excited about it is the ability to take this really excellent product that, as we've talked about, has all of these environmental benefits and bring it back into our communities, like in San Francisco, where we can actually go into community gardens, go into schools, communicate with kids where they're learning in school about how to separate their black, blue, and green bins. We've got a 3-bin system and have source separation where we're teaching people how to compost, what goes in your recycling bin, what, if anything, needs to go to landfill. Very little in San Francisco. We have a fantastic infrastructure around how we manage our urban waste streams. And I think that biosolids is this additional frontier that we're really now getting to. And we can say, you don't always think about what happens once you flush your toilet or what happens once you wash your dishes or take a shower. And now we have this environmentally beneficial product that we can bring back into the community and teach people about this really invisible infrastructure that for a very long time we always thought about wastewater services as, if we don't hear anything, it's a good thing.
Right.
No news is good news. The only time you hear from the public is when you've got a sinkhole or something's wrong.
A water main break or
whatever. Right. Yeah. And while I get that, into a certain extent, of course, we want to be very, we don't want disruptions by any means. We certainly have missed an opportunity to get ahead and showcase the phenomenal service that we provide. And so I think that this is just a very tangible, exciting tool that we can use as utilities, as community gardeners, as environmental justice advocates, really just showing how a service that a municipality provides can develop a product that returns carbon and nutrients into the soils where they belong. And in urban spaces where you might not have a lot of opportunity for urban agriculture, you can use that to, you know, grow important food, fiber, flora right in your city. Again, back on that idea of closing the loop. It doesn't have to just be extractive and, you know, one way in, one way out. We can really keep things local. And I think that that's a movement that a lot of people need to get behind.
Are there any examples or has anything happened where you know, SFPUC has gone into a school or into a community garden or whatever and said, hey, this is the product we're bringing you. This is where it comes from. This is what it's going to do for your garden here or for your field here.
Not yet. Okay. So we are currently transitioning towards Class A. We have 2 wastewater treatment plants, all-weather treatment plants. We have 1 wet weather facility as well. And we are in the process of transitioning both of our plants to Class A over the next, you know, 7 or so years.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing now is really just getting familiar with this culture shift. And I think that so much of it has to do with being able to communicate our values as a utility and then take those values and in an authentic way express them outwards. So first it's about knowing, well, who are we and what value do we add? And even though we have a strong sense of that, we maybe have not been all that great about telling our story. And that's not just a San Francisco thing. I say that goes for wastewater as a whole. And so it's about telling your story in a way that's easily understood by the community, scientifically based, and just very transparent. And so what we're doing right now is really working to build that infrastructure around the capital infrastructure that allows us to feel confident going into the community once we have a product in hand.
Mm-hmm.
But until we have that product in hand, it's really preparation.
What's the process then that lies ahead over this 6-7 years? What do you all have to do to get to that Class A point?
Great question. So we are very much engaged with academia at this time. I mentioned work that we're undertaking with UC Merced and Dr. Riles. Very exciting research around being able to demonstrate the soil health benefits to biosolids land application and then the climate benefits. So really ensuring that all of these messages that we've been able to really see and read about, we're actually able to demonstrate using our own biosolids. It's that familiarity that is really going to be critical to being able to confidently communicate and maybe dispel any concerns or anxiety that people may justifiably have around biosolids. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the work right now is listening to the needs and concerns of community members, both mm-hmm. within San Francisco and then within the broader Bay Area. I think it's really critical that people listen. Mm-hmm. And then based on what we hear, doing the science, doing the rigor, making sure that this isn't just talk, but it's really a true culture shift. Mm. And I think that's what's most exciting right now is being able to hear everybody's perspective, everyone's cares, concerns, and then address them.
That's very interesting. I'm going to try to have this discussion without trying to stereotype too much, which is always a good thing, right? You know, I think of San Francisco and the Bay Area as there's a double-edged sword here. It's an area that's where people are very into doing things that benefit the environment generally, yeah. right? A lot of environmental stewardship ethic and that type of thing. So it would seem that having this resource recovery loop would be something that would be cheered and accepted.
Yeah, certainly.
But then also, I think that there's probably a lot of people, this is again my perception, in the Bay Area that are very concerned about pollution.
Absolutely.
And they're very concerned about, want things to be natural and, mm-hmm. and all that mm-hmm. type of thing. Maybe that's where there's concerns about biosolids and things right. coming from wastewater plants. Right. Is that a fair characterization of maybe where public acceptance in San Francisco might be a little tougher because of the concern about, well, what contaminants are in this and is this safe? And I mean, is that something you're hearing?
Yeah, certainly. And I think I mentioned this earlier, where we want that scrutiny. Mm-hmm. That is the level of rigor that we should be putting into our work as public servants, as stewards of the environment. We want to hear those concerns because we share them. Mm-hmm. I would hate to do anything that would hurt our community and our environment. Mm-hmm. I'm from San Francisco. Like that is completely against my interest.
Yeah.
So yes, there are going to be many people who have concerns and they should. And we need to understand, first and foremost, what is in our biosolids, hence going back to the science. And the science is so exciting right now, where you can dive into the parts per trillion and understand really what is in this material. And then understanding, because it's in the material, well, what does that mean for us? So, unfortunately, we're a society that uses lots of chemicals. We find chemicals in household dust. We find awful things in mother's breast milk nowadays. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is unfortunately mm-hmm. a reality that we find ourselves in. Mm-hmm. And so how do we work to take those toxic chemicals out of the conversation, out of the supply chain, if you will, address those things upstream? You know, in the wastewater industry, we talk about pretreatment and source control, and it's really about that. It's about that addressing these issues at the source so that we're keeping our homes, our household dust and our breast milk clean, in addition to our biosolids clean.
So has this San Francisco, your plan to go to Class A, this is obviously public knowledge because mm-hmm. you're talking about it here, so it's been in the media and that type of thing.
Certainly. We've been undergoing a large capital effort, and we have a phenomenal communications team mm-hmm. actively working, you know, alongside the community. The transition to Class A was a push from our community.
Oh, okay.
And so it's really, again, back to that listening. We heard what the community had to say. We're following up as best as possible on reaching that goal of Class A.
I'm so glad that I bumped into you and just had the random conversation that motivated me to get you on here and chat on the podcast a little bit and some different kind of angles on the biosolids benefit conversation. And I definitely look forward to following what happens out there in San Francisco as this endeavor goes forward.
Thanks so much. Appreciate being on.
Words on Water.